Let's just pray to welcome Justin and to just really ask the Lord to move. Father, we just come together today in the name of Jesus and thank you that you are here with us. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the power of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit. And we welcome the release of your Spirit, God, to be moving among us. God, that what is spoken today would not just be mere words, but that they would come with your anointing, with your authority, with your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be opening up eyes today to see. I thank you. Your word says you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I thank you that you're releasing a revelation of truth today that sets people free, God. I thank you that you're going to give hope today where there's been hopelessness. I thank you, God, that you're going to bring light, God, where there's been deception and darkness. I thank you, God, that you're going to break bondages in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that you're going to expose any lies of the enemy, Lord, and establish us in your truth. So I thank you for Justin. We bless him. Thank you for his life, for his testimony, for his ministry. I pray release of the Holy Spirit upon him, Lord, as he speaks, that you would be flowing through him, that you'd be ministering through him. You'd open up our hearts to receive what you have for us in this time, God. We say thank you in Jesus' name.
Check one, check two, three, four, five. Did I unmute it? Check, checkity, check, check. Check one, check two, check. Hey, there you go. Check, check, checkity, check, check. How much checks could a check, check, check? I don't know the rest of that one. I got to learn my whatever that's called. Hey, my name is Justin. I'm testing the boundaries. Ready? Okay. I'm not good at staying in one place very long. Oh, man. Yeah. Man, I'm not going to make it through this because, you know, yeah, let's pray. And before I pray, I just need you to know this about me. Like, if I'm loud and angry, I mean, it's angry sounding. I'm not angry. And sometimes I speak loud because I feel like your earthly man's ears can't hear, so I'm speaking to your spirit man, and so I can speak as loud as I want because your spirit man doesn't have eardrums. I'm going to pop, right, sometimes. So I really just need you to know that the passion of my heart is what you're hearing. And the decibel level only has to do with the passion and the truth that I know that I'm speaking. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that your spirit is in this place. I thank you that I'm driving on my moped over here like crying, Lord, just because I know you want to pour out your spirit. Father, there's this old song somebody wrote, "Let your anointing fall on us all. A holy downpour like never before." Father, that's the cry of my heart. Not that, God, you would help us remember even what I speak, but that your Spirit would show up. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty and freedom. And so, Father, I thank you that when I was dead in sin, you made me alive in Christ. And, Father, I pray that the testimony of who you are would be remembered. That the testimony of what you've done would be remembered. Holy Spirit, come in this place. I thank you for the people that are visiting, God, because they're going to be set free. I thank you for those that have always been in the same seat all the time. They're going to be set free. I thank you that those who've been settled for complacency, have settled for apathy, who've said, "Oh, this must be how my marriage is always going to be." I take apart that lie, and the truth of Jesus is that today is a new day. His mercies are made new. Father, I thank you that today the process of restoration of marriages will take place. That the process, God, man, I thank you. I just thank you for who you are. Don't let me get in the way, Lord. Don't let me get in the way of what you want to do. Hey, is that a little water bottle? Did you, even if you drank it, are you sick? If you're not sick, I'll just... Can I just be real? One of my greatest fears is having to go to the bathroom in the middle of talking in front of people. Like, has anyone ever seen that happen? Like, a preacher had to go to the bathroom. I'm like, sometimes nervous to drink, but I know from the past I won't get to the end with a voice if I don't drink something. So, hey, and if that's my greatest fear, then it's okay, right? So I've been praying and saying, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? And you can ask my wife, I'm like, man, I know what the Lord's taught me. I know what the Lord has shown me. But like, Lord, what do you want to say? And so last night, and I don't know how many of you how many of you are any part ever, how many of you got some piece of the Power and Love conference thing that was just here? All right. So I'm like, you know, I got a few days of Dan and Todd in me too, but last night I realized, no, I didn't. I got a few days of just Jesus, like, revealed. And so last night, you know, I'm just praying and preparing and like, ugh. And then I came across this scripture. And by the way, so sometimes I'm going to talk fast. And I even had worksheets that I was going to print and hand out. Alice, I want to acknowledge you publicly, first of all, because I always see you taking notes. And I always seen you listening. And I'm just so proud of you. I'm so proud of you saying, like, I'm not just going to listen and pretend to hold it all in. I just want to acknowledge you publicly because that's so good. That's so good. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something that frustrates me sometimes when I just see people, like, you know, and I was there too. If you have something to write on it. If you've got to take notes on your phone, that's fine. But I just feel like the Lord is going to speak to you. So I'm reading last night in the scripture, and I come across 1 Corinthians 17. And I'm going to fire hose scriptures at you this whole time, and, you know, oh, but another warning. See, when I was dead in sin, but I went to church, I read this book called the Bible, and I read it like most of the pastors and people I heard read it. And as I become, it became alive in me. That was a long time. I mean, I'll get to my story in a second. But as it became alive into me, I realized, oh, it's alive. Like when Paul said, like, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present your body. Urge you, did you just hear what he said? This is Paul that was Saul that was murdered. He didn't say, therefore, I urge you, brothers. But that's happening how we teach it. And I'm fine. I'm fine if that's how it has to be taught. But I'm not teaching today. I'm preaching. And I just feel like it's a little different. And so when I read the word, I say, Lord, what was the circumstance? What was the passion? What was the intensity that they were writing it? How fast was your spirit moving their hand? Because that's how I want to understand it. So when I read this, and I read, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech. And this is Paul writing it to who? To the church. The church, by the way, in verse 2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord. I think that's us. And by the way, that word sanctified is a past tense, which means been sanctified. And I'm going to talk about it soon, but sanctification is not this never-ending process that goes on until you see Him in glory and say, thank you for sanctifying me completely now, Jesus. It's a now reality. They've been sanctified. You've been sanctified. So when I read this, the passion of Paul is this. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should be made void. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are believing, being saved, it's the power of God. Guys, when I was growing up, this verse said, the message of the cross. And I was reading this dude, Charles Spurgeon, old guy dead, but preached fire, I guess. You know him? But he was like, it says, for the word of the cross. And it jumped out of me. Trust me, I've been wrestling for weeks. I'm like, Lord. And Jesus said, tell him about the word of the cross. The word of the cross. That's what I want to bring to you. The word of the cross today. Because it's a foolish message to those who are perishing. The message of the cross is foolishness. It confounds the wise man. It baffles the strong man. that says, where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Amen. By the way, this is a free to say amen zone. This is a free to say yeah. And sometimes I'm like you. I grew up in a Plymouth Brethren closed congregation in Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, there was never a yes and amen out loud thing that went on. And I didn't realize that there's something that happens when you confess with your mouth what you are feeling in your spirit. So you don't got to say it to prove me anything. You don't got to say it to show the person next to you anything. This is about you and him right now. I'm trying to set the table and say, Holy Spirit, come. Come. It's not about the person next to you. Those that are bound by sexual sin and pornography and your wife sitting next to you doesn't know. It's okay if today when I say, it is for freedom, he sets you free, you say, thank you, Jesus. It's okay. Wives, that's not going to crumble your marriage. It's going to make your marriage start to come alive. Praise the Lord. No fear. Fear's been cast out. If you thought it was here, it's in your head. It's not here. For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs in Greek, search for wisdom. But we preach what? Come on, yeah. We preach freedom. We preach Christ crucified. Man, Spurgeon's like, in this little thing I read, he's like, yo, some people just say, but we preach Christ. He's like, no, we preach Christ crucified. And I've been stirring in my heart this way. Check this out. We preach Christ crucified. This 1 Corinthians 1:23. 1:23. I'm going to get back to it in a second. 1:23. That's just, I'm not going to forget about getting back to it in a second. 1:23. The Lord spoke to me today. This is a day of new beginnings, and we've been affirming it as people have been speaking. 1:23 is the beginning. This is a day of beginning for some of you that thought that there was no beginning again, that you just had to get a little better and whatever. Listen, but we preach Christ crucified. What the Lord's been stirring in me is, Justin, I'm asking you this question. Guys, this isn't a trick question. How many of you are not afraid to die? How many of you are not afraid to die? Amen. Listen carefully and answer this. Answer it quickly and answer true. Who's afraid of how you're going to die? Who's been afraid of how you're going to die? Raise your hand. Come on. Don't. This isn't a trick question. This is what the Lord spoke to me. Justin! Everybody, no one's afraid of death. It's the dying. That's the hard part. It's the process of dying that we shy away from. When he was reading some book, some kid's miracle book thing, I don't know, and this woman in it said exactly, death is easy. This is after the Lord had been speaking to me. She's like, Justin, check this out. This is the quote from the book. Death is easy. It's dying.
That's the hard part.
Whoa, praise the Lord.
Death is easy. It's dying. That's the hard part. Guys, think about that. We preach Christ. Was that all before? Just the natural thing? Boom! Shakalaka! Now it got dangerous. Amplification. Holy Spirit, just right now, I just pray that even on that word, see, the Donnie Kittle told me a little while ago, may the practical become more spiritual and the spiritual become more practical. So, Father, guys, I got ADD, like with the spirit. So, like, if I just start talking to him and not talking to you, just be okay with it. But, Father, the amplification that just came right there. Yes, let the spirit breathe on that word. Death is easy. All of us are saying, yes, I'll die to flesh. Yeah, I'll die to selfishness or deceit. Or, yeah, death. I love death. And then he says, but are you willing to go through the process? Let that be amplified in our heart. Burn, drowning, and suffocation. Those are the top three fears of death among people. You know, The world says this, men. The world says this. Die another day. Right? James Bond, Die Another Day. I didn't see the movie, but if it's like anything else James Bond's persona is, which is pretty much an opinion of me of the world, if you just run with some half-naked women and pull a little gifts and gadgets and you'll get out of life and you can die another day, all the while looking good the whole time. Man, that's not the process of the cross! That's not the process of the cross! They didn't take the way out. Jesus didn't take the way out. There's nothing sexy, nice looking, or anything about the cross. The death of Jesus became obedient to death, and the writer of Scripture wanted to say, oh, but not just death, even the death on the cross. Or let's just say it a different way. It's not compromising it, even the process of being crucified on the cross. Man, so much of us are like, yes, death, oh, life in Christ. You're going to take me out of the bullet, right, God? Because if it's a year long or 6 months or 3 months or 10 years, I don't know. I feel like Jesus spent 33 years dying to self by the Spirit. We'll get there in a second. Oh, Lord Jesus, you need to help me get there. Guys, here's why I'm so... This is it. This is why... Guys, when I was bound by pornography and stuff, yeah, I wanted death, but no, I wasn't willing. But here's the thing. I drowned. That's my testimony. I drowned. First, I drowned in sin. And I just want to testify to the darkness so you understand why I'm so excited about the light. I first drowned in sin. Guys, no one wakes up an addict. No one wakes up a liar, an adulteress. No one wakes up. They don't just wake up and, oh, hey, yesterday, oh, today I'm. No. Who you are is a product of a process. See, I was drowned in the ways of the world, in sin, in lies, and deceit. At age 7, I came across pornography. Masturbation. Age 7! No, I wasn't abused by my dad or my mom or my uncle or my aunt. I was flesh and I loved sin. Yes, even at 7. Just like there's no junior Holy Spirit, there's no junior flesh. Don't be baffled by that. By age 10, I was so confused. I was raised in a church loving, Jesus loving, God fearing home. My dad like sneezed scriptures, man. It was crazy. It was like so annoying to talk to him sometimes. He's like, well, but you forget in Amos. I'm like, what? Amos? That's not a book. Like, I was raised in that. It's not their fault. It's not your parents' fault either. It's not your wife's fault either. It's not what someone wasn't to you that you needed them to be to make you feel like you were something. That's not their fault. By 14, man, I was like, this is whatever, I don't know, 20 years ago or something like that. It wasn't like I was just looking on an iPhone or whatever, you know. It's just twisted. Homosexual, pursuing it. Homosexual desires, going after it. At 14, in the back of my dad's Mazda 626, Hunter Green, Mazda in the back in the driveway, I'd been caught making 900 number calls. My dad said, Justin, if you had conviction of the Holy Spirit, you would have came to me or you would have felt bad about this. And I realized, whoa, I don't have conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that night in the car, I said, Jesus, all right, I'm going to follow you. So my life changed. Nope. Something happened. I'll tell you in a second. But I did. I did say, Lord, you take my life. But I didn't give it to him. I realized I was lost. 18, going to college, promiscuity, darkness. You know, imagine going from Church of the Plymouth Brethren, Columbus, Ohio, where I was afraid to go into the adult bookstore because everyone knew. I got 7 brothers and sisters, like 6 of them, whatever, 7 of us. I was afraid of just getting caught. Like, somebody knew the rule, kid. I'm not going in there. You go to college in a whole other town, no one knows you. Game on. Let's eat some sin and have some extra sin on top of sin. I know you guys know that. I know you know that reality. I got married. Didn't change it, man. Made it grow deeper and darker and more secret. Oh, I told her enough half-truths to make her think that it was cool. And like every man's battle. Oh, man. I almost did something I only do in church. Y'all know what that is, right? I won't go there, sorry. I just got sometimes a, okay. It's not every man's battle. That doesn't give you permission to spend the rest of your life battling sin. Your God is greater. Became a father. My wife said, you know what? If you're just getting, she didn't even, I mean, she was beginning to know. She was beginning to learn. I had Lillian. And she said, Justin, if you're going to live this way, by that time she had found out that it was criminal. By the way, pornography doesn't stop in front of a computer screen, people. Oh, you don't look at pornography? Ooh, you're pretty holy, right? You just think about it in your head. It's just bigger. The guys look at pornography. Yeah, guys, I was there. I was there playing all those games. It's not going to stay there. The wages of sin isn't just a scratch on your arm. It's death. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Not to, like, take some of your bubble gum and hope that you... Listen to this. So, guys, it was criminal. For me, it was criminal. I was breaking into hotel rooms, watching porn on other people's things, and sorry to be so straight up about it, but I was breaking in. The ladies would be like, oh, is that your room? I'm like, yeah, it's my room. And I would go in and watch pornography on there, come home, steal DVDs from the store, steal DVD players, go to the park, watch stuff, throw it out the window, because I just, guys, it's not going to stay wherever it is right now for you. When you're drowning, you just keep getting deeper and deeper, sinking down and down. But praise be to God, Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. Come on, this word is alive. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. Oh man, dude. But God, praise God for but God. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved me, because of his great love which he loves you. Even when you were dead, I'm going to read it to you. Even when you were dead in your sin, he made you alive together in Christ. By grace I've been saved. He raised you up with him and seated you with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In order that you, that in the ages to come, you might know the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you've been saved. Guys, I didn't do jack squat. I didn't do anything to get out of the prison. It's by grace I've been saved through faith. The word of the cross is to tell us, it is finished, it was done. Guys, I was dead in sin. And you know what I've spent the last 9 years doing? Drowning in the spirit and in truth. But I didn't even want to, guys. This guy named Jimmy Nyman, who started this little Bible study that grew into this church called Threshold, may have heard of it. He's like, he heard my story, everything, from the criminal to everything. And I said, hey, like, this is normal though, right? Like, dudes struggle with this stuff. He's like, what I remember him saying is, dude, Justin, as people as dark and messed up as you are, they go down to this thing in Kentucky called Pure Life. They stay there a while, and I've heard them come back, and some of them are like, you know, renewed in their mind, and so maybe you do that. And I was like, short version is, I was like, no, I can't do that. Got a wife and kid, got to be responsible. But they have this, like, distance counseling program. Okay, I'll do that. Psh, whatever. Every night, as I would submit my answers to the stupid question, they would ask me this stupid book, because that's how hard my stupid heart was. I'm serious, God, this is no lie. When my wife said, all right, I'm going to go to my mom's because you're just choosing to live sin. You know what? You know, like, you've read it in the books, guys. I mean, that's the moment when your wife and your kid are leaving. And maybe you're waiting for that. Maybe you're like, God, just give me that wake-up call, man. God, if you give me the wake-up call, then I'll be like, I'll wake up. Do you know what I said? You know? I mean, you've read it in the books, right? It's like, baby, I'm sorry. Please don't go and change. I'll go to Pure Life. Nope. You know what I thought? Yes, more time I get to play basketball. Seriously, that's how hard my heart was. Oh yeah, by the way, I was leading youth ministry, you know, 7 years into a new church plant. Guys, this shouldn't be a shocker. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? You're good at putting on a name tag and a facade. I was too. Maybe I was just better than you. Maybe my heart was hard. I don't know. But that's, and so I go to we do this thing and I'm reading the scripture every day and blah, blah, blah. And cursing out my counselor on the phone, the dumb questions he asked me, like, well, you have to come to Broken Free if you want to hear more of that journey. But it was like 4 or 6 months, whatever, that, you know, we're like going through this thing. And I didn't even want to. The only reason I did is just because, whatever. Okay, I'll do something. But guess what? I was getting in the Word every day. I look back, and so here's what happens. So like 4 or 6 months, I realize, wow, something's different. This is always in the message where I say, wow, that clock is moving fast. Where I say, something is different. See, when I was growing up, and maybe you're a young person, maybe you're a teenager, brother, here, let me tell you something, man. If you're struggling with sexual sin, if any of you young people struggle with sexual sin, guess what? The hope of the gospel is not that you go from, man, I just masturbated and looked at pornography. Woman, girls, a third of the church of women are enslaved in sexual sin too. I'm talking to you too. If you've heard like the greatest hope is that, man, you go through seasons of victory and, you know, it's just a up and down road and, you know, you'll have time. If that's what you've heard and that's what you believe, it's a lie. You don't just go from a 2 to a 7 and never get to the 10. But when that's as much as your hope is, I'm just sitting on the couch and eating donuts then. If I'm not running a sub-4 mile, then forget about it. Are you following my ADD here? Like, the hope of the gospel is new. It's new life. But I never heard that. So I'm going through pure life and I realized, whoa, I haven't done this. I was thinking of the fruit. I was focused on the fruit. And I was saying, man, I haven't seen any bad fruit in my life lately. Well, just gear up, Justin. You're going to struggle again. And T minus 10, 9 days, 8 days. And guys, don't get me wrong. I went through a period that next year making some dumb choices. But I realized that I knew something. And this is what the Lord told me. This is what I'm here to tell you. I realized something. That I was free. Free as in identity. I began to experience marriage. I told you before I was married, but I didn't experience marriage. Men, women, you can be free, but never experience freedom. Just like I can be married, but not experience marriage. There's a difference between free and freedom, but I realized I was free. It's an identity. It's who you have. You've been justified by faith. Free is your identity in Christ. Praise God. It's your identity. It never changes. Whom the Son sets free is what?
Free
indeed. But then in Galatians it says, but it was for freedom Christ set you free. How many of us just sit in the couch of free? And we just think it's cool and God's cool with us. When the Israelites were enslaved and Pharaoh said, you're free. Did they just walk outside the camp and say, woo! I didn't smoke cigarettes. I don't know why I'm smoking a cigarette. You know. They'd be like, wow. Remember life on the other side of that thing? Woo! No! They went into the wilderness. They started to find that place where they had to choose how to walk. Whether they would lust for Egypt or believe God for the promise of the promised land. God told me that, Justin, that is victory. Victory is where you choose by the power of the Spirit to make war against your flesh and how you feel and whether you walk outside and say, manna again. Let's go back to Egypt. I'm thirsty. Guys, those are the times when you gotta choose. But church, that's not the end of the process. The purpose of that process isn't for, oh good, it's been, how many days have you been in this desert? 29 years, 39 years. No, it's not a time clock. The purpose of the process is death. The fruit of death is freedom. It absolutely is. It biblically is. On the authority of God's word is. I don't care if that's been your experience. I don't care if that's what you heard people preach or not. That's truth. The life I live, I no longer live. But the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not my life. You look at Romans 7 and you say, yeah, but look, Paul, even the good I didn't want to do, I did, and da-da-da-da, and this file myself. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's just break down the lies right now. Romans 7. If you're not there, I'm just going to go there. By the way, I got to say this all the time and in front of people. Okay. Just think about the answer to this one. So you don't have to raise your head. And be bold enough that if it testifies to your spirit that there's conviction that you are being deceived, then just say, amen, when I ask you this question. When you'll see, you'll get it. The Spirit will speak to you. How many of you have a porn subscription you pay for? How many? How many? Just think of it. How many of you pay for a porn subscription? How many of you get it to your doorstep? How many get him that thing? How many comes to your inbox? You pay for it. You pay for it. How many of you? Some of you are thinking, I don't. I'm not me. Yeah? How many of you fall to pornography on your phones? Think about it. How many of you pay for a phone bill? So how about we wipe the deception off and say, yeah, but I don't know. I don't pay for porn. I don't pay for my addiction. My thing is this. When the thing that you use to enslave yourself and give in to the devil is the same thing you look at the word of life in scripture on, shall the same mouth come blessing and cursing? Let it not be. I feel like it's the same phone. Man, sometimes I want to take these from people. It's not about the phone, but it's about being willing to lay it all down. Can he have it all, or can he just have enough that you're satisfied with? Do you want to be James Bond? He looked good going through it. Death is not a pretty process, not crucifixion. Guys, we signed up for crucifixion. We didn't sign up for some cult where you get in the room and all drink gas and all gone in a second. I hope you're hearing the love of Jesus. I love you too much to not tell this to you. Recently, the Lord has bestirred on me. So when I was set free and understood that victory wasn't the end and understood that this freedom was, it comes by the transformation of mind. I hated sin. And the Lord right now is just stirring in me a love for sinners and people who are bound. So, Romans 7. We look at this and we point and say, look, it's a back and forth struggle. Come on, guys. Everybody struggles. Come on, girls. Come on, accountability buddies in church. Let's get accountability circles and talk about how we're struggling. And, oh, you're struggling too? Yeah, well, really? You point to Romans 7? Well, Paul went back. Let's jump to verse 24. I mean, look, he says, look, let's go over to 23 just to make you feel a little better about believing what you were believing. But praise God, the spirit of truth is going to come. But I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man I am. There's a point, man, we got to come and say, wretched man I am. I didn't do that when my wife said she was leaving. We got to come to a point and say, wretched man, who will set me free from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. May he set you free. And you know what that word is? To draw by force, violence, to drag or pull out of danger. Christ set you free from the law and your members. It says, if by the Spirit you put to death later, this is Romans 8, verse 13. If you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of your body, you'll live. The foolishness of the gospel is this. Kill it so it can live. The foolishness of the gospel is that. Not until you die will you live. Are you willing to die? Not just you agree with, I know death, yep, I can go. But are you willing to go through the process? Because it was preaching Christ crucified. Victory is not the goal. Death is. Come on, guys. I am super convinced of this. That as long as we keep rationalizing our experiences by saying, no, man, I went through a period of freedom. No, you didn't. I'm just saying it in love. I'm just saying it. No, you went through a period of victory, and that's okay. Don't hear me poo-poo on the victory process. God takes you through the wilderness to get you to the promised land. According to Scripture, he gave him 40 years of peace on every side and removed their enemies on every side. The transformation of their reality. Guys, I'm not throwing stones if you're in the process. I'm saying, don't just settle for the wilderness. Because you've got manna and mercies new every morning. You were made to be transformed. Man, I'm like jumping all over this. This isn't even, okay. And let me, do you hear me? Do you get it? Do you hear him? Listen. Some of us, and I'm so past tense sanctified. A finished work accomplished for you by the blood of Jesus that comes when we submit ourselves and become obedient like him unto death, even the death on the cross.
Don't settle for victory. Confess it if you have been. And you've just been saying, it's good enough for me. That's not what he paid for. It was for freedom. He set you free. And the Lord has been speaking to me about this. Oh, man. 1 Peter 4:2. Let me just blast this at you. Look at this. Some of you say, well, I don't know, Johnny, Justin, really? Like, you haven't, like, lusted, looked at pornography, done all this stuff. Like, you're not... Yeah. My flesh is dead. And you say, well, how's that possible? Let me ask you this. Raise your hand if you grew up young with a cursing tongue that was just crazy cursing. Raise your hand, quick. Raise your hand. Crazy, crazy cursing tongue. Keep your hand up if you don't struggle to curse, not curse anymore, or do all that stuff. Totally. Raise your hands high. Let's testify to people around us. When people around you curse and you just don't curse. If I told you, yeah, but it's not really dead. I mean, you probably still... No, you'd be like, no, dude, trust me. I like, that's just dead. Right? Or how many grew up lying through your teeth, crazy, habitual, crazy lying? See, your identity is that in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. I love saying this, that it's not just, oh, your life, you messed it up. Let me flatten it out for you, Jesus said. That's what you're believing. That's what your church is believing. That's what the book on your shelf, that's not the Bible, is telling you, that to just get better. And it won't get better. He's got a new thing. All things are passed away. All things are new. New means it didn't exist before, people. It means totally transformed. It means, look, let's go to 1 Peter. So 1 Peter, listen. If therefore, listen to this verse. When did you last believe this? Since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Boom! The body that suffers. Oh, whoa. How did this? Oh.
Whoa. Felt like the woman who's pouring oil in, like, boom.
I was wondering how that happened. The body that suffered in the flesh is done with sin, so therefore go living the rest of your days in the flesh, not for the will of lust of men. Guys, it's right there. But for the will of God, you know what the will of God is? 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the will of God is your sanctification. Flee sexual immorality. This is the will of God for you. Whoa! So can you put to death your flesh? Completely done deal. No more lust. No more. Yes. Yes. And man. So you say, yeah, but Justin, what about temptation? I want to get to the other stuff we were talking about, but. Temptation. Let me just say this. Let me just say this to give you the hope. Because you say, what about temptation? There's always temptation. Yeah, there's always temptation. But you know what I want to just rip apart for you right now? On the authority of God's word, temptation's not the same as struggle. It's different. When you're dead, temptation, you don't struggle to say no to it. When you're living according to the Spirit, listen to what I'm saying. When you're living according to the Spirit, temptation comes from the church. Temptation means, oh, you're struggling. Like, I don't want that joint. No, I'm not gonna lie. Maybe I should lie. Maybe I'm steal. Maybe I should just look at that. Maybe I should look at that girl. Struggling. There's no more struggle for those that are dead. The scripture just said it. But the temptation might come, meaning that thing that identifies with your old self might still come. But it's no struggle to say no. Think of Jesus, that's led by the Spirit. And he's saying, then they said, hey, give you bread or whatever. Do you think Jesus is like, there's a scripture I got to think of. Hold on, Satan. It's man shall not, the bread. Ooh, bread, what kind is it? Is it rye? Asiago? Okay, man will not eat my bread, loaf of paper, with a piece of the mouth of God. Woo! Phew. Father, glad we got out of that one. If you think temptation is the same as struggle, that's what you're believing happened in the desert, in the wilderness, when Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, was led there. It's not what happened. If I told you that's happened, you'd be like, blasphemy, throw stones at me, something, right? Or something, you'd... Okay, so extrapolate that to our lives now, men, women. Temptation may come, but it's no struggle. People say, on the authority of God's word, being filled with the Spirit, this is truth. I'm choosing truth. Truth is oozing out of me. You hear me? Do you feel me? Amen? Do you hear it? Apply it to whatever situation is going on in your life. That's the truth. So I've been saying, Lord, how does... So So how do we, like, if you can get my ADD, if you can get that from the Spirit, there's free your identity. There's victory, which is a process. But then there's freedom, which is a destination that comes by transformation. I'm going to get there in 1 second, but I have to say this. Oh, and to those that are, okay.
Yeah, place a guard over my lips, Lord. Come on, Lord. Let your Spirit just speak. I have nothing to say. Let your Spirit just come speak. Listen.
So the cross, we preach Christ crucified. Listen to this. So how do we die? How do we die? And trust me, I'm not a teacher man that's going to give you the 4 of the 5 things that you got to remember. So the 6th thing you don't do. That's just that. Okay. The psychology of man says, identify your triggers, and when your triggers, make sure you have a roadmap, and then follow that roadmap so that when the triggers come, then you can see a roadmap, and then you just focus on the end. And guys, it's a done deal. Just think. Think! Wait, he was crucified, and where the place of the skull? Stop thinking, start believing. These things are to them that believe. So listen, by the Spirit, Romans 8:13 says, if by the Spirit, so how do you put it to death? If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, you will live. Listen, you can't do it yourself. That's why I called it broken free. You can't break yourself free. You can't figure out yourself. Forgetting what is behind. Forget what is behind. Let's throw off everything that so easily entangles us and press on, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's not about figuring out how to untangle your fishing net. It's not about figuring out why your uncle abused you, why that person raped you, why you justified how you feel and your draw to this or your resistance to intimacy with them. Forgetting what is behind. That's the foolishness of the cross. That's the foolishness of the cross. If by the Spirit you put to death, so by the Spirit you've been given a sword, the sword of the Spirit. I pray to God it's not dusty on your shelf. Some of us have the sword of the Spirit mounted on the wall, and we go to bed and we're like, you know, I don't know why I keep doing this. But you just look at it and you're like, man, got the sword. Take it out! Oh, you take it out! Put it to death! Oh, this is a word from my wife. She just won't come up here to say it, so I'm going to tell it to you. This, she said, Justin, you'll never kill. Tell them, they'll never kill what they're unwilling to admit is alive. You will never kill what you're unwilling to admit is alive. You will never kill what you're unwilling. Some guys, hey, so you got a porn problem, man? You're struggling? Nah, I mean, this is little. Okay, then where's your sword going to stay? Because that thing's kind of welcome in your home because it's not really. Some of people say, I'm free, but they never died. They never went through the process of dying. They look at, honestly, sometimes I believe the devil removes temptation just so that you believe a false hope that for like 2 weeks he's not going to tempt you or 3 weeks or whatever. And so you're like, yeah, dude, I'm good. So what did you kill? When did you die for you to have the authority of God's word to say, I've been crucified, I'm not even living anymore. When did that happen? We don't war according to the flesh. It's not about, this is too confusing if I go there. Okay, so listen, we just don't make war according to the flesh, men, women. We war according to the Spirit. We have divinely powered weapons. I was praying on what Whitney said. You'll never kill what you're unwilling to admit is a lie. And I felt like the Lord said something else too. You'll never kill what you don't see as a threat. God, open the eyes of their hearts that they would see the spirit of lust and pornography as a direct offense and attack on their homes, their destinies, the gospel, the truth, the testimony of who you are, God. Open their eyes, every single one. That they would see it for what it is. It's a threat. It came in your house to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's why it didn't leave. Man, when I was master, you know, like, just think of this. Some of you have this testimony like, yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, I used to like, I'm just trying to be straight. Can I just talk straight? Can I talk straight? Some of you are like, well, when I was masturbating, you know, I was just looking at women, I wasn't that bad. And then I was masturbating, it was just in the privacy of my own home. And then you grew up a little, and then you got some roommates, and just follow for a second. You need some truth. You need some eye-opening revelation of this thing came to kill you. Your flesh is submitted to the spirit of this world. Desires to keep, and you're masturbating with people around, and then you're masturbating at work, and then you're whatever. You know what I call porn and masturbation? Are you ready? You want to listen to this? You better listen close before you say, Justin, can I talk about my problem? Because this is what the coffee shop sounds like if you meet with me in a coffee shop. Darrell in the back can testify. Can I say something about your story? Darrell came to me in a coffee shop. I did. Jesus, help me remember what I was going there. Yes. Let me just finish that because I'm not good at all remembering. So listen, if you meet with me, this is the reality. This is what I'm calling it now. It's not called pornography. You know what it's called? Sex without the risk of STDs. The devil's convinced you that it's safe sex. That's the way the Lord sees it. I actually don't care anymore. Just hear the Lord on this. Please. I will say this on record. Just listen. I don't care if you're sleeping with prostitutes or you're looking at pornography or you're thinking lustfully. Jesus didn't either. He said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. You're justifying and saying, I'm not that bad. When the reality is, yes, sir. You're already sleeping with her. You just thought you'd be cool enough to remove the risk of getting a transmitted. Guys, I know the fear of going to the doctor for fear of an STD. I'm meeting in a coffee shop with Darrell. Some guy says, hey, talk to my friend Darrell. Darrell's in a mess or struggling or whatever. So I meet with Darrell in the coffee shop, coffee code, Langston thing. Darrell tells me, can I just share a testimony? Praise God. Because it's free, because it's not Darrell. That's not the Darrell I saw, 2 years ago. That is not the Darrell, and that's not the Arlen that I see. Praise the Lord. Here's what he says, the short version. Like, I'm used to hearing, you gotta, like, pornography, masturbation, you know, maybe went here, did that. This guy's sleeping around with prostitutes, soliciting prostitutes, gave his wife an STD. Just listen, you think you have reason to be angry, wives, or husbands, or something? Just listen to what God, when you let God kill what was never meant to live. I'm in the coffee shop, like in my, you were even there. Remember that day? You were there. You were sitting on the front because I walked out. Jake was there and I was in my head. I was like, oh my goodness. I don't know what to tell this dude. I don't know if he remembers, but I told him. I said, all I could think of was say, Darrell, I'm going to take a picture of you. Did I not say this? I'm going to put my phone number on the picture and post it up around every massage parlor and every place you're going that says, wanted, Darrell, call my cell phone, reward $5,000. If that's what it takes to stop you from going into these places. That's all I knew how to say. I didn't even like, was like, Lord, can you redeem that? I mean, I'm just being real. I walked out to Jake and I was like, he happened to be in the coffee shop. I'm like, Jake, I'm going to tell that guy, but let's just pray. You know what? Jarrell and his wife decided to make war for their family, for their marriage, for the testimony of the cross. They went through a process. He didn't go home and say, I confessed. And she was like, no problem about the... Guys, just think of that. Think of that for a second. They went through a process of learning to trust, to forgive. Trust is a bridge that needs to be built. When it's burned and broken, it's not unbuildable. It just takes time to build. I was free before my wife trusted me. I knew who I was. She was learning and she knew who she was. She walked up to me one day and said, you know what? You're porn and stuff. I'm not going to let it affect me anymore. She decided right then and there. I know who I am in Christ. Did we still have to build a bridge of trust? Yeah. Did that mean crazy rules and stuff like that? Yes. Because it's trust. It's not just, oh, I'm free for cool. No, they had to build trust and praise God. The Lord has redeemed and renewed their marriage. Their wife, their kid, they are free. There's freedom. Nothing. The gates of hell cannot stand against their testimony advancing. But I'm just saying, I don't care how dark you've been, man. They saw it as a threat and they took it out. Porn, just hear my heart on porn, guys. Stop justifying and saying it's not that bad. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, you will live. When I was born 3.5 months early, weighed 2 pounds, 4 ounces, was deaf with cerebral palsy till the first 5 years of my life. That's my testimony. My grandma, who doesn't even believe in the prophetic, spoke over my birth. Psalms 118, 17. He will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So everyone celebrated when Justin, you know, reached a month, 2 months, and started gaining weight and got his eyesight back and his ears and his full functioning of his body back. Miraculous. Yes. And I thought that was it until recently I realized, oh, that's the live. Because the devil was still out. And the enemy and my flesh still loves sin. Some of you are like, oh man, the devil's attacking me. Or maybe you just are loving sin. Maybe it's just time to admit that, like the word says, either you love no one to serve two masters. You love the one and hate the other, cling to one and abhor the other. Guys, did you hear that? You either love one or hate the other. Guys, I wasn't loving Jesus when I was loving myself. I was hating Jesus. Because I loved myself. My name tag. Worship leader. Cool guy. Miraculous preemie survivor. How many name tags need taken off for you to realize that there's only one name given among men by which you must be saved, to be written on your heart and on your chest? You overcome by the Spirit. I'm just going to spit these out and then we're going to pray. You overcome by the word of your testimony. Revelation 12:11. The blood of the Lamb has been spilled, it's been shed. The word of the cross is final. And you overcame, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And I say that some of us say, well, I'll overcome and then share my testimony. And I say, no, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Where are you at? Testify to it. Bring it out into the light. Have fellowship with God. You think you can't have fellowship with God unless you're perfect? What? Do you read about the disciples? What? Bring it out to the light and have fellowship with them. He loved sinners who were walking in schmuck. That's where he hung out. In fact, if you got it all together and you're so pharisaical about yourself, maybe that's why he's not hanging out with you. You also kill the flesh by starvation. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. But if by the Spirit you sow to the Spirit, you will live. You sow by starving your flesh. Guys, you can't run 5 miles every day and eat donuts and expect to turn into any. You're eating from both sides of the table. Guys, you need to starve your flesh. Are you going to get hunger pains? Yes. What are you going to choose to do when you get hunger pains? Live according to how you feel or live according to how truth? Because if by the Spirit you put to death, you will live. Are you still with me? The last one, and honestly most passionate in my heart, and about how you kill the flesh, and this is just how the Lord has told me to go, by gazing on Him. By gazing on Him. Guys, people say, well, Justin, how'd you get out of the mess of like homosexuality and all that confusion, like especially people that know all the craziness of what it looked like? How'd you get out of the criminalness of your other... I don't know. Here's what I do know. I once was blind, now I see. I once was in jail, and now I'm free. Who the Son set free? Did I do it? Nope, He did it. It's free indeed. Gazing on Him. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of your faith. The Bible says we gaze on Him, we're transformed to be like Him. Guys, the transformation process is a process with a promise. This is the last thing I just want to share. Because freedom is a now thing. Freedom isn't you're going to struggle till you're 85 years old. Just read this article that made me so mad about this old guy that's like, yo. I'm like, sanctification, I know this is like, I'm not even a big theology dude, but I'm just saying, there's the finished work on the cross. You've been justified by faith. I get it. That's your identity. But you've been sanctified. Like, in your heart, you can be sanctified. You can be seen. You can be put that thing to death. And guess what? When it dies, you don't say, sweet, I'm the man. You say, praise God that that is dead. Now, Father, continue to work in me. My lying tongue, my tendency to be deceitful, my selfishness. Guys, praise the Lord, it doesn't stop. But praise the Lord, there's a death. There's a transformation. The word be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the last thing I'm just going to say. It's this word metamorphosis, whatever. It's where we get the butterfly thing and all that, okay? And most of us like know that. But get this. There's another word for transformation used in the Bible. It's the word that when you're transformed, that when you die and you become into glory and you come into Him. It's a totally different word. In fact, the Strong's Concordance Dictionary thing that's in my Bible, I'm not smart, I just read it, says this. Be transformed by the renewing your mind is the same word for when it says, as we behold His glory, we are transformed to be like Him, being transformed from glory to glory. It's the same word. You know what that word means? A complete change of identity. It's a transformation of who you are. It even says this example, to call a garden an Italian garden and move it to like a Roman garden, that's the other word where the outer shell just changes. Boom! But the word that is if you're going to change a garden into a ball field, that's metamorphosis. It's something totally different. When the butterfly, Jimmy Nyman, some of you heard Jimmy just preach on this, to share this with me. When a butterfly goes, the caterpillar goes to the butterfly, goes in that cocoon, and he becomes goo. Dust, it's in there to get to nothing. And then it's totally, look, my wife and I were joking, we thought it was just a caterpillar with wings. Like, no, it's totally dead to its old self and raised up because of that death, the transformation that comes by the Spirit of the living God. It's the result of death and a rebirth. Praise the Lord. Guys, this is the word I just want to share with you, that the word of the cross is a promise of new life to those that will die. They will embrace the process of dying. I'm not negating deliverance. To me, deliverance tells you who you are. It seals your identity. But you need to learn to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is the process of dying. And I'm here to testify that freedom comes when you're dead. Don't be deceived, men, about what it is. Even the scripture says it's not just like every other sin, does it not? Sexual morality sin is a sin against your own. It's different. Ask the Lord to show you this. Maybe in the email we sent out this week, I'll send you some scriptures to meditate on along this line. And this is what I feel like the Lord said. The call is this. Men, women, you're not going to be drafted into this army. You must enlist. I'm going to say it again. You will not be drafted into this army. You must enlist. It's not this magic poof. Oh, I guess I'm in. Drafted in the army. I guess I'll fight now. Guys, my father-in-law went to Vietnam. He chose to go, right? No, I don't know. He chose to go. He chose to fight. Are you going to choose to fight? Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's a call to enlist. It's a call to fight the good fight. Why? For the purpose of death. I love in this. Oh man, I just know I can't go there. It's the purpose of it. It's not just to like run for a little while and fall. That's not what He made you for. But when you fall, listen, yet my slip, look, David says, yet my right foot slipped, yet the loving kindness of the Lord sustained me. Your identity doesn't change. I know a lot of people that don't masturbate and they're not free. Or that don't look at pornography and they're not free. That's not the measuring rod. The measuring rod is, where's your pulse? Oh, I don't have a pulse. You're right, because it's Christ that lives within me. Go figure. Man, you just got to die. Embrace the process of the cross. It doesn't need to be pretty. It doesn't have to look cool. You're not going to slide downhill to the top of the mountain. Embrace the cross. See, Jesus, last thing I'm going to say, on the hill of, in the Garden of Gethsemane, fully man, yet fully submitted to the Spirit.
only did what his father was doing. Empowered fully by the Spirit. Get it? Like, take the Sunday school thing off for a second that you just listen. He was on the hill and he said, Dad, if there's any other way, take it from me. His man was saying, this process, crucifixion, is there some other way? But I submit to the Spirit. I submit to your will. God will do in his love, because he loves you. He will submit you, listen, to the least amount of pain necessary to produce the destiny that he's called you for. It pleased him to crush his son. Don't forget that. That's foolishness to the world. It pleased him. The Bible says to find pleasure in. That word is to find pleasure in, to enjoy. Guys, blows the natural mind. It pleased him to crush his son, it says in the book of Isaiah. And for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross and scorned its shame. He said, not my will. Let me say it again. God was, I believe, what you can take from that moment in the garden. In the process of his son. I mean, look, he tried to save the world many other times, did he not? Did he not send a flood and Noah and say, look, I'm going to start again? Did he not do all these right? I mean, again, yeah, I know you're trying to think about God's omniscience. Don't go there right now. Just realize that then he said, okay, the thing that tears me up the most, the things I got to send my son. And submit him to the torture of the cross. Did you think he wasted a lash on his son? Do you think he wasted a lash? Do you think it was one too many or one too... No! It was the amount necessary to produce the destiny that those who were called to freedom wouldn't use their freedom as an opportunity for sin, but would submit themselves because it's for freedom. We were set free. Do you hear it? So I just want to do two things. I'm asking you to enlist. I take off fear in Jesus' name. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you if you're going to stand and enlist. Who's enlisting in the army? Hold on. Wives, I know you've been brutalized. I know you've been torn up. I know your identity's been construed by the lies of people like me. So when I'm saying to enlist, I'm asking you if you feel called to stand and enlist, to fight for your marriage, to fight for your husband, to fight for your children. My wife and some other wives that have been going through this process, they're going to be in the back. So when I say stand on the list and let's just go, guys, it's going to be a crazy thing, but we're going to come and we're going to move. We're going to move our physical as a representation of what's been done in the spiritual and what we're agreeing to in the spiritual. And women, if you're someone that's enslaved, there's freedom. And I want you to come up. The people that I asked to come up, by the way, or go back. Can you just move to your spot real quick? The people that I had asked. So, men, you come up over here. And if women have asked you, I asked you specifically, you know who you are. And wives, if you can go to the back. But, guys, we're going to make a call to enlist. It's just like I never was alive in those wars or whatever. But, like, you went to the place and you enlisted. I'm signing up. I know that death is probably the outcome, but for the cause of freedom, it's worth it. Praise God, that's the promise of death is freedom. Yeah. And just because I'm not going to say it's late, guys, in 3 weeks or something, in May 21st, we're having a broken free gathering to get men away, to understand our destiny and to go after it in the name of Jesus. I invite you to that. I invite you every Thursday night. You figure it out, brokenfree.org. You can figure out where to go. But listen, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as the Israelites did in the desert. So no fear, man. Here's what we're going to do. There is no fear in this place. If you know that you need to stand and enlist and you stay in your seat, then maybe you don't realize the war. Father, take the blinders off right now. Take the blinders off right now. Renew hope right now. There's a wife that wasn't even going to stand and go and make war.
This is Arlen, Darrell's wife.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that I know you're talking about the men, and you brought up there's women that struggle. And Justin said for the wives that want to fight for their husbands to come back there, but I felt led to also say that if there are women who struggle with pornography or thoughts, or and when you think about the movie like 50 Shades of Grey, I feel like the struggle just got amplified for women. So if you want prayer for that too, whether you're single, young female, or a wife, to feel free for that too.
Yes, yes, amen. And there's women up here going to pray for you. There's no shame. There's no shame. Today is a day of invitation.